Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We're going to continue this morning in teaching. The last couple weeks, we've been talking about encountering the cross, and we're going to continue that idea talking about encounters. And I wonder this morning, what are some of the encounters you have had in your life that you might describe as life-changing or significant? What are some encounters in your story that you would say, yeah, like that encounter, that moment was life-changing? Now, some of those things might be big and huge, and some of them might be every day. Because if we encounter some of these things here, our life is going to be changed even momentarily. Can I get an amen and a ugh? Like putting this slide together just weirded me out. I was Googling pictures of snakes in this sidebar. You didn't pay for this. They said in the Google search, cute pictures of snakes. I'm like, what on earth is a cute picture of a snake? No, we just don't do that. So who's my spider people? Like, who is having a life-altering experience when you encounter a spider? All right, who's my snake folks? Yeah, all right, who's like cockroaches and rats and that sort of thing? Yeah, hey, we cover all kinds. Right, these life change might only cause us a few moments disruption until we find a fly swatter shoe, frying pan, whatever, but life changing. How about one of these? Have you encountered this experience?
Yes.
All right. Who says this is a life changing experience? Anyone? I've heard the brisket's legendary. So I have not gotten to encounter this myself, but when one opens up in Mount Crawford, I will go try it out for myself. Come back next year. We'll report back. So we see, you get the idea that we see things all the time that change our plans, change our appetites, but occasionally we encounter things that make a bigger impact on us, don't we? Like memories and moments that truly last. Maybe for some of you, it was your first car. Man, what a moment. Free! Yeah. Maybe it was your first job. Maybe it was your wedding day or the birth of a child. You see, there are certain encounters in life that provide us moments and memories that we carry with us forever. One of those moments in my life came on August 23rd of 2014. It was our wedding day. There's a lot of great memories and moments and encounters that day, including a torrential downpour that came just moments after our outdoor ceremony. Never forget that one. However, what really stands out to me over 10 years later is an encounter called a first look. So what a first look is, what my wife and I, we met probably 2 hours before the ceremony, and it was just the two of us. It was time that we got to see each other for the first time, all dressed up, and they took some pictures, but we just got to hang out in the air conditioning. That was really important in August. Now, I know for some of you, that's not traditional and that bothers you. It's okay. We can still be friends. But you see, that was the moment that stands out for me. That was the moment. And here's proof that that moment changed some things. Because this is a picture that was taken this past August. We went back to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. And I know some of you can't believe she would still put up with me. But you notice as you look at this picture that it's like crooked. And your mind's trying to like rewrite it. Well, that's really the proof that things have really changed because our photographer was our 5-year-old daughter who was taking the picture. Life has surely changed. What are some of the moments and encounters that have shaped your life today? If you look up encounter in the dictionary, you find it defined in two ways, as a verb and a noun. As a verb, encounter means to come face to face or to come upon or experience, especially unexpectedly or kind of in a surprise. As a noun, it means that a chance meeting or a particular kind of meeting or experience with another person, an encounter. I mentioned the last couple weeks that we have been, as a church, in a teaching series called Encounter the Cross. Throughout this series, we've been looking to the Bible and coming face to face, encountering the story of the cross and some of the stories that surround it. And we don't just want to come face to face with a story. We want to encounter the power of Jesus and experience that in our lives today. And that's really the thread that we're continuing today. We're going to look at three more encounter stories. Three more stories of people who encountered the cross, and we want to see their story after that encounter. Our first encounter this morning comes in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, here we find the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. We're going to begin at verse 33. You're welcome to turn to your copy of Scripture. We have a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user, and the text will be on the screen today. But Matthew 27, beginning at verse 33, says, "They came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left." In this story, we're kind of jumping into the narrative as Matthew has preserved it for us. Jesus and two criminals are led out of the city to a hilltop where they are crucified. If you have ever been traveling along a backcountry road or along Interstate 81 and seen three crosses displayed, this is the story they are telling. This is the moment. Crucifixion was a terrible and horrific form of execution in the first century. Hands and feet stretched out and nailed into the wood, victims would be left attached to these beams for hours, if not days, until they passed away. Although it was commonplace in the first century, there was no getting over the sight of it. It was not an encounter anyone could forget. Part of the humiliation of crucifixion is that it was done in a public location and that people could come by and they could cast their taunts or their antagonism toward the victim. And that's what we see happen in the next few verses of Jesus' story. Let's pick back up in our narrative in Matthew at about verse 45. It's around noon in the afternoon. Verse 45 of Matthew 27 says, "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Around the cross, people misunderstand Jesus' words. In the original language, what Jesus spoke, they thought he was calling the Old Testament prophet Elijah. They missed what he was saying. And they wait to see what happens to see if Elijah would really come. But let's jump down to verse 50. And it says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." At that moment, the moment of Jesus' death, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs were broken open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Friends, I don't know if you're following along or not, but that is one crazy encounter. Let's walk with the text for a second. Imagine it with me. It's the noonday sun, so the bright high point of the sun, and it goes dark. Now, not dark like a thunderstorm just came through, dark like night in the middle of the day. Jesus, out of breath, weak, he struggles to get the words out, but he cries out from the cross, and he yields up his life and his spirit in death to the Father. And miles away, at that moment, miles away in the temple, the place where the people of God had worshiped for generations, a curtain that is 4 inches thick rips from top to bottom. You see, this curtain used to be what separated where the people of God believed that the Lord's presence was there, the Holy of Holies. This curtain separated the people from God's presence. At Jesus' death, that curtain is torn open. For miles around, rocks and the ground are shaking. The rocks are split and torn just like that temple curtain. Events so dramatic that it even wakes the dead. The text records that bodies came out of the ground alive. All of this at the death of Jesus. Now think about it with me. What would you have done if you were at this cross encounter? And all of this is happening. Literally, the earth beneath your feet is shaking. What would you do? What would you do? Would you run? Would you scream? Would you hit your knees in prayer? I'm going to confess to you, a snake can make me run, squeal, and hide all in an instant. What would we do if we saw this? I think it would have drawn a dramatic response. And that's exactly what we see. You see, at that moment, the centurion who was in charge of Jesus' death, he's calling the shots that day, he makes a startling claim. Let's look at verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." What's the extraordinary response? A centurion and his men believe. They believe. You see, in one encounter, in one moment, all the talk they'd been hearing about Jesus being the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of the Jews, all of that comes flooding back, and the centurion realizes they were right. This was the Son of God. And the text there says that it wasn't just one centurion, it was a centurion and those who were with him. And so this wasn't just one guy who believed, it was several. And you have to think about who these men were. They were the tough of the tough, battle-proven and brave. They've done this crucifixion thing so many times, it's another day at the office until this one. The encounter they had was different. It was different. As a centurion stands there with Jesus' blood on his hands, the earth trembling beneath his feet, he probably can't explain it all. He's not sure what all it means. But in that moment, he believes that the God of the universe has somehow stepped into our story in the person of Jesus, and now he's dead. You see, this man had had encounters before, practically his whole life, with crosses. But nothing like this. This was different. You know, that's one aspect of this story that really stands out to me. That even though these men had seen and done this crucifixion thing probably hundreds of times before, God in His grace allowed them to realize that this encounter was different. This cross was for them. You see, as we think about all the crazy things that happened in that moment, it's amazing to me that faith was their response. Faith was their response. The Lord allows them to see who Jesus truly is. They could have ran, they could have passed out, but they believe. They believe. And friends, I think that's good news for us today. I think that's good news for us today because we encounter crosses all the time too. They're on our necklaces. They adorn the walls and tables of our homes. They're even beside the road in so many places. Just north of us, you can see these three crosses in Strasburg along Interstate 81. Over 2 miles, you can see these standing tall on the horizon. Crosses are literally everywhere in our lives. We encounter them all the time. Even as you walked in this morning, if you came in the front, you saw a big white cross there. You know what? I bet a lot of times we're a little like that centurion in that we don't think anything about it. We just don't think twice about it. And I just wonder if that was true for you this morning. Not really thinking twice about this Easter thing. Maybe you've been to Easter services before, you've heard the message. But yet, if you were honest, like the biggest thing on your mind is, how many deviled eggs can I eat and still have room for dessert? I mean, hey, I get it. You got to think about these things. They should be called heavenly eggs. Well, that's another message. But maybe you came in today. You've encountered all this before. You're just living your life, doing your thing. You're keeping the bills paid, having some fun on weekends. Life's okay. But maybe something about today's cross encounter is different. Maybe the Lord's tugging on your heart. Maybe you just feel a little bit of angst in your heart or a knot in your stomach this morning. That the Lord is calling you. And that you might realize the same thing the centurion realized. This cross was for you. This cross was for you. You see, the story of the Son of God come to die on a cross to make atonement, to pay for the consequences of our sin, for my sin and yours. To know that He's taken care of that debt. Every failure and every hurt we've put out into the world has been taken care of in Christ. That on the cross, Jesus quite literally is our rescuer. Our rescuer. And because of that, because of the cross, because of Christ, we can be free and clean, maybe for the first time. That's the story of the cross. Will this cross encounter be different for you? Our second cross encounter story is about a man named Frank Silencia. Silencia. I'll get it right by third service. Frank encounters the cross in a much different way. It wasn't at Calvary. It wasn't even in an Easter service. Frank encounters the cross in the midst of tragedy. And when he does, he sees a reminder of God's love for all of us. That's the cross. Let's watch.
On September 13th, 2001, a construction worker named Frank Silencia, of local 731 laborers, was going to World Trade Center 6, part of the recovery operation, hopefully looking for live bodies.
We searched the whole building. It took us the better part of the whole evening. We only came up with 3 bodies and no survivors.
While he was there, it did a double take, and he noticed right on the ground of World Trade Center 6, there was a structure that looked like a Christian cross.
And I directed the firefighter that was assisting me to take a look into the pit. In the middle stood the cross. It brought such overwhelming feelings to me that it dropped me to my knees in tears.
And that gave him great comfort and consolation, and he was telling people. And within 10 days later, he showed it to me. And I verified this is truly important, and this needs to be preserved and for the world to see.
But on September 23rd, when I found out about the cross which Frank Silencia founded, I made an immediate phone call to First Deputy Mayor Joseph Loda that we needed to preserve the cross and keep it ground zero. Within a few moments, I got a call personally from then Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. His father, absolutely. We will keep that cross at ground zero as a reminder of God's love for all of us.
Well, it brings back very, very strong memories of the days after September 11. The cross was discovered 2 days after. Father Jordan was able to focus on it and put it in a very important place, right where all of the recovery efforts were going on. And then he would say Mass there every Sunday. sometimes during the week, have other religious services there. It became like a rallying cry or a focal point for many people. I know there's all these issues about religion, but this was beyond religion. This was a significant part of what happened in the days after September 11th that kept a lot of people going.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is beyond belief. The World Trade Center buildings are gone. They are ashes.
This is how we found it, September 13, 2001. This is how we see it. This will be the last day it'll be outside. It's been outside for nearly 10 years.
This was the worst attack in the history of the United States. It was intended to break our spirit, and instead of it breaking our spirit, people emerged stronger from it. That cross symbolizes that, and I'm very glad that it's going to be part of the memorial.
Now the Ground Zero Cross, which has a 10-year journey, it finally has its resting place, its final home here in the museum.
The cross means to me healing, comfort, something to look for as an avenue to comfort your sorrow, help revitalize you. Got to remember, on that day, our faith was crushed, and through that cross, it helps rebuild our faith.
Standing there in the midst of the rubble of the Twin Towers, Frank was filled with questions and heartbroken. He was there searching for life, and he found it, just not in the way he was expecting. Frank encountered the cross. I love what he says there at the end. He says, "The cross means to me healing and comfort, something to comfort our sorrow, to help revitalize." You got to remember that on that day, faith was crushed. And through that cross, it helps rebuild our faith. It's faith that rebuilds our hearts. Maybe today some of you can relate to Frank's story. Maybe things feel like they're falling in around you. Prices of everything are through the roof. It's harder and harder just to get by. Maybe there's relationships and brokenness that are causing you pain you didn't even know was possible. Maybe you feel the weight of the feeling of being alone in this world. For one reason or another, you're filled with questions, maybe heartbroken and searching for life. Everything just seems like a mess right now. And you're wondering, does the cross mean anything for someone like me? To quote Frank, the cross means healing and comfort. Yes, the cross means something for every single one of us. That's the power of the cross. As the band begins to make their way forward, our last encounter story is a little bit different. You might say it's a lot closer to home. I say that because our last encounter story is your story. Yes, yours. Ours today. You see, together we've been encountering the cross from when we pulled on the parking lot to worship to the scripture to the message. We have encountered the cross. God in his great love for us has seen to it that we could come face to face with this truth, this story again. To hear the story of Jesus' death on the cross for our sins, to hear that we can come into God's presence and into relationship with him through Christ. We've gotten to celebrate that Jesus is alive. That's Resurrection Sunday. That's living hope for us today. This is the story of Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection. And I cannot help but wonder today, what's going to be your encounter story? How's your story going to be different after today? Will it be different? Maybe you'll believe. Maybe you'll believe. You see, the rest of the story, the rest of the encounter story is up to you. You say, well, Pastor, what does that even mean? What does it mean to believe? Like, how do I do that? You see, because to believe, it's really not just a mental assent to facts. It's an encounter with the resurrected Son of God. It's a relationship with Jesus. So, Pastor, what does that look like? What does it mean? It's a great question. You see, the cross was an ancient symbol of death and shame, and now it's been transformed into a symbol of life and hope. And through the person of Jesus, we can find forgiveness and new life. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 reminds us that it is by God's grace, His kindness, His favor, that you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. You see, to believe in Jesus, to believe in the cross, is to believe that we need forgiveness. That we need forgiveness for sin, for all the wrong things we've done, the hurt that we've caused. We believe. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He, speaking of Jesus, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds, we have been healed. You see, as we believe in Jesus and turn from our sin and begin to live for Him, that's what it means to believe. To be a believer in Jesus means that we're in relationship with Him. We seek after Him, to see Him revealed in His Word, to know Him, to live like He lived, to do the things that He did. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. Friends, to believe in Him and follow after Him is to be transformed by His grace. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. You see, the good news story of the cross is that through the person of Jesus, we can be made new. We can experience new life. So today, what's your encounter story going to be? How will you respond to today's encounter? Will you believe? Will you believe? Would you stand with me? We're going to pray in just a minute. And if you're ready to take that step of faith, you feel like, no, this encounter is different, I would just invite you to pray with me. We're going to pray something really simple. It'll be something like, Lord, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins, and I want You to be Lord of my life. I want to know You, to be like You, to do what You did. I believe. You sense today that God is calling you, inviting you to faith. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank You for allowing us to encounter Your cross one more time. Lord, to hear the story of Your great love for us. Rescue mission. Lord, not just to forgive us, not just to redeem us, but to transform us, Lord. That's who You are. That's what You desire to do. And Lord, today we desire to respond in faith, to say, yes, Lord, I believe You are the Son of God. Lord, we know that that's only by Your grace, Your kindness and favor has led us there. We just want to respond. And so today, Lord, Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins, and I want You to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I want to know You, to be like You, to do what You did. I believe, Lord. I believe. Holy Spirit, come and give us the strength, the countenance, the witness of your presence to live out our faith. That after this encounter, we would be different. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The band's going to lead us in one more worship song together. But I just want you to know we have a gift for you. We have little wooden white crosses. You maybe saw them on your way in today. I would just invite you, one per household, family, whatever, take them till they're gone today. But would you take that and allow that to be a reminder of the cross encounter today? Let it be a reminder of God's love for you and his presence with you. Would you join us in worship?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.